number 480. Number 339.
Cold night of sin, I did roam.
51.
Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That is my wish for everyone that has come, everyone that is listening, and even for those that don't listen, that is my wish for them just as well. And I think of the song that we just ended with, "Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior." I was thinking as I was walking up these stairs, I thought to myself, what a beautiful song that every child could learn from small on. Is that song, if they all had that from the day they were born, that was the first song they learned when they could learn something, would be a reminder of all the time of that the Savior not passing by us, but that his light would be always there. And it is, but the problem is that not all of us understand that. Not all of us have received that knowledge from small on, that there is a Savior that does not want to pass by anybody. Because the Scripture teaches us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus was sent in this world not to condemn but to save. Praise God for that. This morning, hearty welcome to everyone that's here this morning, everyone that's listening. My wish is that together we can be blessed by his word and be encouraged. And when we leave from here, that we will have some kind of spark in us that will give us the desire when we walk out to not hide and be darkness, but be light for the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we were once in darkness, but now we are light. We are to shine as light. We are to go forward as light and to be the light for you. And to be the follower of you so others can see that. And pray, Lord, this morning, help us. Help us, a sinner, saved by your grace. We pray for those that have not accepted you, that don't even maybe know about you, haven't even heard about you. Lord, pass them not by, O gentle Savior. But speak to them through the Spirit. Today, as words be spoken, whether it's here in this church or other churches, Lord, help us as pastors, help us as shepherds to speak truth through encouragement, admonishment. And Lord, that you can do your work. Help us to water the seed that is out there. And if there's a seed that needs to be planted, Lord, may that happen today too. Thank you for this time together. We praise you for this opportunity again to gather here and to be able to worship together in your word. Bless those that are here. Bless those that are home listening. We also pray for a blessing upon those sick ones. Lord, that you can just help them, lift them up with your Spirit through this word that is shared today. In Jesus' name, amen. I've chosen today morning to look through the passage or the chapter of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 verses 1 to 10 are the verses that I will start off with to read it and then go through some of those verses. 1 John 1 verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, for this life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness, and shew unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Here's a writer called John, believed to be John the disciple, one that was with Jesus, one that took the mother of Jesus to take care of her. One that wrote the book of St. John, of the God, the book of the Gospels. He's written here and he's encouraging everyone. He says, first of all, he says, those things which was from the beginning that we have heard, have seen, and looked on, and handled. The Word. The Word. If we go back to what John speaks about in John chapter 1, verse 1, John refers to that in his first letters or his first writings in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, where he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he refers to something that had been from the beginning, just the same thing as he does in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which he also mentioned, as I said, in John chapter 1. The Word, Jesus Christ, was with God already from the beginning. And he speaks about it further in John chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Have you ever taken note of that? John here speaks about John the Baptist. He's writing here about what John the Baptist has said, and John the Baptist is saying that here is one that is preferred before me, he that cometh after me, the one that came after me is preferred before me because he was before me. What? How in the world do you get this? You were born first, John the Baptist. You're 6 months older than Jesus. How is this possible? Go back to verse 1. The Word was at the beginning and the Word was with God. But then in verse 14, it explains who this Word is. In verse 14, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so this Word that was from the beginning with the Father, before the world was made, was one exactly like John the Baptist said. He was already before me. Even though he came after me, he was already before me. And this is the same one that John is writing about in 1 John chapter 1. I've often wondered, have you ever wondered of the life that John will have had with Jesus? To be able to walk with the Savior and actually see him face to face and ask him questions. I think every one of us possibly have some questions we'd like to say or ask Jesus when we meet him. Some things that we just don't quite understand of Scripture, we would like to ask him. Probably those things we won't ask of them because we need them now, then we will see face to face and we won't need answers. But here is John and many other disciples, but John, as he writes, he says, that's what was from the beginning. Jesus Christ, the one from the beginning. We have heard him, we have seen him, we have looked upon him, and he says we have handled him. We have handled him. If you look in Luke 24, verse 39. We're starting at verse 38. I should do Luke 24, verse 38 and 39. Jesus says, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Jesus gave them the opportunity to handle him, to touch him. And he goes on to Thomas. Thomas was a doubter, as we often refer to, and he goes on and Thomas says, I don't believe that Jesus is one that is risen. That's in John chapter 20, verse 24 to 29, where we can read about that. John 20, verse 24 to 29. Thomas is one that is doubting that Jesus is actually risen. And I have to say, if I would have stood by that side and seen Jesus, all his blood coming out of his body, running down onto the ground, water and blood all mixed together out of that body of Christ, There would be no doubt in my mind either that I would say, there's no way Jesus can be raised again. He is dead. That is not possible. And so for Thomas to doubt, friends, I have to say, I don't blame him. And I don't think you do either. And so it happened, though, that Jesus came in their midst, and Jesus says to them, peace be still, in verse 26 of John 20. And then he goes on, and he reaches out, and he says, Thomas, I want you to take your finger, and I want you to behold my hands. And I believe what he did is he wanted him to come forth and touch him. And he says, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. Go ahead, touch me. Be not faithless. So here, as I understand, he also had the opportunity to handle, to be there to touch Jesus Christ, to spend time with him, as John writes in 1 John. They had a beautiful opportunity to hear him, to see him, to look at him, to touch him, the word of life. The word of life referring to Jesus Christ. His life was manifested, it was opened, it was there to be seen. There was nothing that could be hidden before them as disciples, and as John declares it, he was manifested. We have seen it, he says. We bear witness of it. And then he goes on. And there's a purpose in life that he is sharing. And I want to today say that there's a purpose of life for you and me as well as it was for the disciples. When we go back, before we go on to the next verse, verse 3, we go back to the Gospels, and we could touch a few of them, but let's look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to the end. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, therefore, he says to his disciples, go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus is instructing the disciples, go teach. How would it be today if all these, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Paul, and the writers of the New Testament would have all said, yeah, we were there, we have seen him, we have looked at him, we've touched him, we spent time with him, we had fellowship with him. But you know what? We'll keep that to ourselves. We're not going to write anything of this down. We are the ones that had that privilege to get to know him. The rest of them that come after us, who cares about them? How would that be of an attitude? Then I ask myself, do we have that attitude? Do we care about our children and our grandchildren? Are we leaving an inheritance for them? Yes, the scripture talks about inheritance, and it speaks about, I understand, about things to continue in life. But the greatest inheritance that we can leave our children and grandchildren is Jesus, so that they can have eternal life. John, further in 1 John chapter 3, he goes on and he says, that which we have seen, look now, he's repeating himself. I know that, just like I do a lot of times. But he's repeating himself, and he wants to get attention. And he says, that which we, he doesn't just refer to himself. This doesn't just refer to him, but all the disciples and other believers that were there. And so it is for you and me. This also is for us, we, not just the pastors, not just the Sunday school teachers. It is all of us that we could put ourselves in there. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. We're telling you this. We're explaining this to you. We're telling you who he is. Why? Why would John want others to know about it? He had 11 other disciples to walk with him after they voted another one in. There were 12 before that. One took his life. Later on, they voted another one. They were 12 again. Why would he want more? He says that ye also may have fellowship with us. John desired to have more than just the 12 of them to have that fellowship. He desired that we all have that fellowship with that same Savior that they got to know. To have that connection that John, the writer of John, will have had with Jesus being able to walk with him on earth, we can't experience. We haven't experienced that. We have to experience it through the Spirit. But though he still shares, he wants others to have this fellowship. And he says, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Where's my fellowship? Do I go home and do I stay in my house and read the Bible? Study the Bible. And when I leave, I keep it for myself. Yesterday, we had an opportunity and were invited to a wedding for one of our employees. There was a time for an open mic. And I already felt if there was a time, I wanted to share a little bit of the experience of the man that is working for us as a supervisor, of what I had experienced with him. Now in October, I think it'll be October when Thanksgiving time is. Last year, we had a big snowstorm during Thanksgiving time. And we were in Holland, Manitoba. And I remember one evening, this man that got married yesterday, him and his, at that time, that was not his girlfriend or his wife, but they were sitting together and someone else in that room, and they were watching a movie in a different room on their laptop. And myself and a few other employees were in the dining room. We were discussing God's word. And I marveled how this young man, and I'm thinking at that time he was maybe 19, maximum 20, how he decided to turn down the music of the movie and listen to our conversation of the Word of God in the other room, and he ended up commenting on it. I thought a young man like that having an opportunity just to continue to listen to the movie, not giving him any spiritual insight of what he was watching for life, made a decision to listen to what we have to share about God within the group that were in the dining room at that time. And he wanted fellowship with that word just as well. I shared that last night, maybe not exactly in the words I shared this morning with you, but it touched me deeply to know a young man having, a man like that having such a hunger to listen and wanting to have that fellowship. Now, if we hadn't spoken about God's word, how could we even draw him in? And now, yeah, I have to say he is a believer. He was a believer also at that time, and he still is a believer. He is a believer of Jesus Christ. But how can you and I make an impact to the world? Exactly what John did. John says those things that I've heard, verse 3, declare we unto you that you can have fellowship with us, that you can be there and truly have that fellowship with God and with Jesus. And then verse 4, why? The why goes on again, not just to have fellowship, but verse 4 says, and that these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He doesn't want us empty and sad and burdened. John wants us to know that we can have the joy. So what is that message? John is going on and he's explaining what he wants to share very briefly, very short. And we could say possibly he gets to the point better than what your pastor, Cal Hebert, can get to a point. He comes, verse 5, to the end. He says, this is the message. This is what I want you to hear. This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness. We could put these words in here and say, God is not a sinner. Sin is darkness. God is not a blasphemer. That's darkness. God is not a liar. That's of darkness. And we could go on with a list of things. If we, he says, he gives an example here now. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have this, but we're still walking in sin, we are liars. And we do not the truth when we walk in darkness. Paul in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 5. Yes, Ephesians 5, verse 8. Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light in the Lord. Of our own, our battery is dead. In our own, we will not shine because we have no power with our own battery. But if we are in the Lord, we have the power of him in us. He will shine through us, for he is that light. And that is the light that John is talking about. Verse 7. Again, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we walk in that light, we have fellowship with whom? With God. We are together as one. We have that connection with him. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. He does not just take part of our sin away, but he takes all sin away. Verse 8, he goes on, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I have sometimes wondered over Ananias, Acts chapter 5, verse 1 and on. Ananias and Sapphira. You know, they sold a piece of land and they were supposed to give that portion to the church. And I sometimes have wondered, did Ananias and Sapphira have a problem with believing in themselves that they were sinless? Believing that they were perfect and they didn't do anything wrong? And with that, they could come forth and lie that they had given all the money that they had sold the land for, deceiving themselves, being liars to themselves. Do we sometimes desire to do the same? Do we try to convince ourselves with the sin that we are living in that it's okay? Do we try to tell ourselves that, well, so-and-so is doing that, and because he or she is doing that, and they go to church, it's okay if I do that? Let's not deceive ourselves. Sin is sin. It doesn't change. And we try to convince ourselves differently that it's okay to live in sin, then the truth is not in us, as John writes. He goes on, And verse 9, and encourages us to confess our sins. And he tells us what happens when we confess our sins. He says, He, God, and the Son, Jesus Christ, they are faithful. They are the ones to forgive us our sins. They are the ones that have the whiteout to the page. They are the ones that can take the ink off of the paper of the sins that are written down. They are the ones. God the Father, and God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the one that cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can't do that. But in order for that to be erased, we need to confess. The Old Testament, confession was made for every sin, was brought before the priest. The priest then would bring it behind the curtain and offer it to God for a sin offering and so on. Today, you and I do not have to go to the leaders of the church to bring forth our sins so that they can bring them to God. That veil is torn down. That curtain is ripped. It's gone. You can go there individually. But sometimes we struggle with a sin so much that we, just between us and God, we can't seem to get freedom. And so then there's times we need to take a different approach in that. And if we look at James chapter 5, verse 16, there it talks about confessing your faults one to another. So if I come something that I'm struggling with in my life, and I just can't seem to get freedom just by speaking to God about it, there are times that we need to go and find ourselves someone that we confess our faults through to, someone that we can confide in, we can trust, and tell them, this is what I'm struggling with. Can you pray for me? Because it says in, again, James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confessing your faults. Now that's so we can find more guidance, more help, and more freedom. But the freedom, the final freedom, and the eternal freedom is Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins to Him, to the triune God, to help us, as verse 9 speaks about. Are we faithful? Do we have that faith? Do we have the trust in this? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, Hebrews 10, verse 23, says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. I think too many times we want to compare ourselves to human mankind with our unfaithfulness of, yeah, we forgave you, but the next time we hold a grudge at you, we'll walk the other, we see you coming down the street and I'll walk the other way. But didn't we just clean this up, this problem between us? And you're now turning your back on me again? And so many times, as I said, we look at it as we, as humans, treat each other. And that's not how God is. That's not how Jesus is. But He says, let's hold fast. Let's hold tight to the profession of the faith, of our faith, without wavering. Let's not toss back and forth. For He, God Himself, Jesus, the triune God, He is faithful that has promised. Promised what? When we confess our sins as one of them, when we confess Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Too many times. I fall short in this. It's when there's something that maybe my wife has hurt me with, that maybe a week later I will speak about it again and bring it back to surface. Why can't I be more like Christ? Why can't I, when it's cleansed and when it's whited out on that piece of paper, that ink is taken off, it's gone? Or why can't I just take that piece of paper with the problems or the things that she's hurt me with, tie him to a heavy stone and tie that piece of paper to that and drop it into the ocean and let it go to the very bottom, deeper than what the Titanic is laying? I wouldn't go down there to get it. Why do I do that? Why do we as people do that? John is teaching us here that he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Paul teaches us in Hebrews that he is faithful and he holds on to his part. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I think this is something that we sometimes, as I referred to before, we want to convince ourselves that it's okay what I've done. And we'll just, well, this will go over. Eventually I'll forget about it and just go on with life. But God is one that wants a connection with us. He wants us to speak to him. And he wants us to confess our sins. He wants us to recognize what we've done wrong. When we speak to each other, we have a problem with each other. Don't we find it a lot easier when somebody actually speak about the difference that we have, our issue that we're dealing with, why I can't speak to you, why I'm angry at you? We bring up the problem, the root of the problem. And so we have the same with God. Let's bring up that root before him and confess it, our shortcomings that we have. In Psalm 51, Psalm David, he's confessing his sins there. And I love what the way he words it. Psalm 51, verse 12. The first verses, a bunch of them, he's asking for forgiveness. He acknowledges what he's done. But then in verse 12, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. You see what happens when we live in sin and we think that it's okay. We don't need to confess this. We lose our joy. We lose our joy. And David is asking, restore that joy that I had. And to get the joy back, let's confess our sins. So what have you heard? What have you read? Do we know the word of life? John says, those things that I've heard, that I've seen, that I've handled, I want to declare to you so that you can have that fellowship. I ask a question today morning. Do you care about those outside the church? Do I care about those outside the church? Those things that we have heard, those things that we know about Scripture, those things that we have personally experienced through the Spirit with God, let's go out and let's make sure other people can have that same fellowship with God that we have. Bring them that message that they can walk in that same light that we are, but we need to walk outside of this church, not in darkness, not back to our sin, but walk out here with a light in us so that the people of the world can see who we have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us. We pray in your precious name. Amen. If there's anything else that you have on your heart that you'd like to bring before the Lord, praiseworthy item, anything else that you ask of him, let's take a time in silent prayer. And for those that are able together with me, let's kneel in a silent word of prayer. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. In closing, I want to thank everyone that has come prayerfully and showing your face here this morning and being fellowship with us here, but also those that are listening together in prayer and in fellowship through that way also. May the Lord bless each and every one of you that have come. Continue to pray for us as pastors that we, when we speak the word, we may speak it with truth. When I listen to some of the things that I've been listening to in the past, I'm like, really? Do we want to water God's word down? I'm going to be responsible for that. If you find that I've preached something that is wrong, please let me know. I do not want to stand before God and say, you did not blow the trumpet and teach right. And so together, in fellowship, let's close with the words out of Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may go, but go in the peace of the Lord. Thank you for coming.